the case has been in times past that some of the things that we studied in our Sunday school lesson this day, that some of them I've chosen for part of my thought of this morning hour. I've had this happen several times and where I have traveled wherein it seems like that I had a certain topic prepared for a preaching service, and having also the responsibility of teaching a Sunday school class and not knowing exactly what to use and studying different things and looking up things, I found that quite often, in more occasion than one, that the thoughts of the Sunday school overlapped onto the thoughts of the preaching. And again this day, some of them have somewhat overlapped. And I've chosen to read from Matthew 24 this day, verses 42 through 44, as some opening thoughts. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now this particular reading here, first, they are the words of Jesus Christ. This whole particular chapter points to events that will be in the end of the world and of the second coming of Jesus Christ that precedes that. And these events I will not go into today in any great detail. You can read them at your own leisure. But I do want to stress this opening thought. Jesus said, watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. This is a thing that none of us, no matter who we are, do not know the exact hour when the Lord doth come. But like it is in the next statement mentioned here, it mentions that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief was going to come, he would have been prepared and waiting for him. But like it is with the second coming of Jesus Christ, he would come when you might least expect it. And so it is with a thief breaking into one's house. He would do it when you wouldn't even be expecting him to do it, perhaps. And that's what the intent of this particular reading is. Then he says, be you therefore ready, for he comes in such an hour as ye think not. If we would back up into Matthew 24, in verses 32 and 34, we would find a related reference. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And what things he's talking about here are the things that preceding this, that are events that will take place in the last days. Or part of them are actually in part of the latter days. I believe that. I believe they tie over because it gives of wars and rumors of wars. But says the end is not yet. It says kingdom will rise against kingdom and nation against nation. But the end is not yet, for these things must come to pass. And pestilences and all these other things that are mentioned there. And of the fact that because iniquity will abound, the love of many would wax cold. And this is a thing that's actually being fulfilled before our very eyes right now, because the love of mankind one toward another is waning. It is not what it was intended to be. It is not what it once was. The actual concern for one's fellow being is not what it once was even 20 years ago, and it is changing year by year. And I can't help but know that the last few years of the tremendous change upon the face of our earth in man's attitude one toward another. But in this, he said, learn the parable of the fig tree. When you see these things taking place, know that it is near and even at the door. And then verse 34 further pinpointed it. Verily I say unto you, this generation, when these things are taking place, shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And I'm not going to try to say how long a generation is today in this particular instance. But it isn't a great amount of time. It's a generation of mankind, and we find in certain places there's different years allotted to a generation. But the thing boils down to this very plainly and aptly, and that is, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And if man is watching, it don't matter what hour it was or what hour it will be, you will be prepared. And that is the crux of it all. So like one has mentioned in the past, and I have mentioned too, in this life we're here for a certain time. There could be those of us in this room who could be here at that time. In fact, I'm of the opinion it could very well be. There may be those of us in this room who will not be there. We may be called on to the life beyond before that transpires. But whichever comes first, if we're prepared, it really don't matter, does it? And that is the key thing, that you and I prepare daily, that regardless of what takes place, that we could, at the final day, have this statement said to us, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. And that is what we're really preparing for, that we might live with Christ and God in eternity. In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, there is events mentioned here, starting with verse 1 through 5, and then I'll read a little more in this particular chapter, that ties to this very day that I believe that we're living in right now today. 1 Thessalonians 5:1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. He was speaking to a people here who full well knew that certain things would take place in a certain time. For yourselves know perfectly, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And did not Jesus Christ say, or cause to be written in Matthew 24, that it would come even as a thief, that his second coming would be that way? If he would know, in other words, we got to be prepared, because if you would know which hour the thief did come, you'd be prepared for him. And here it says that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. So indicating when you would least expect it is that when it would be. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Now there again, some very pertaining thoughts are given of a certain day. He first said of this times and seasons, brethren, you need not that I write. And he says, the day of the Lord comes as a thief, when man would not be expecting it. For when they shall cry peace and safety, then cometh sudden destruction upon the earth. In the last few years, and perhaps even in the last year and this year, especially, there has been the talk of peace upon the face of our earth. We have those with responsible positions who travel many thousands of miles trying to arrive at a condition called peace upon the face of our earth. I saw a headline not too long ago. It says, at last there is peace upon the earth, or some such similar wording, about a week ago. Because since the fall of South Vietnam, there really wasn't any major war upon the face of our planet Earth right now. But yet in this same one, it indicated at any time it might break out somewhere else. So even the writer there was well aware that even though he said there was peace, temporarily it could break out again. But they do cry peace. There are things done to try to rise at a condition of peace that haven't solved to one degree a thing called peace upon the earth. And that's why I think many years ago Paul had this to say, when they shall cry peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. But he went on to say, but ye brethren are not in darkness, and I hope and pray that we are not in darkness, that that day, the second coming of Christ, should overtake us as a thief. Ye are the children of light. So he spoke to these people and told them they were the children of light. And we too can be the children of light by following and keeping the commandments of Jesus Christ. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. They are in direct opposition. Jesus Christ was one of light, we find. In Moroni 7:18, we find a statement concerning this light that I would like to read. Wherefore I beseech of you, brethren, that ye should search diligently in the light of Christ. Now we're told to search diligently, and there are scriptures that tells us to search the scriptures, and we should do it in a diligent manner, and we should do it in the light of Christ, that ye may know good from evil. And if ye will lay hold upon every good thing and condemn it not, ye certainly will be a child of Christ. And I believe we all this day would like to be a child of Christ. And if we're going to become a child of Christ, with diligence, we must search these scriptures in the light of Jesus Christ, that we might truly be the children of the light. There's one in Ephesians 5, 8 through 11, that ties rather well with this also. Now, Paul, in speaking to the Ephesians, says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Now, because of the things they believed and the things they pursued, they were one time darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. And then he says, walk as the children of light. But because they accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, they now had this light that overcome this darkness. And so he says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Now, before we finish reading this, I would like to speak a little about the fruit of the Spirit. Because we know every tree that grows upon the face and breadth of this earth by the manner of fruit, what it is. It bears a certain type of fruit. Man knows what you are, and God knows what you are by what you bear as fruit. The type of individual you are, the things you say, man is constantly weighing you. We're weighed every day on the type of person we are, wherever we are. And our influence can be one for good, it can be one for evil. It can be one that is inspired by the light of Jesus Christ, or it can be one that is inspired by the light of darkness. And I wouldn't call it lighthearted, but would be inspired by darkness, whose founder is the devil. Now that is each one of our responsibilities. What we want to put forth is our fruit. And then we find in Galatians 5:22 and 23, we find the fruit of the Spirit elaborated. We find, number one, there's love. The importance of it in our individual lives. We never can underestimate the importance of love in our life. That's Galatians 5:22 and 23, if you would like it. And then we find joy. This thing of walking in the light can be a happy thing. Didn't say it would be without sorrow, because there is sorrow on the face of this earth. There is pain. But there is also a thing called joy, and this can be part of our fruit. Love, joy, and peace. This thing, if they cry, peace, peace, and there shall be no peace, but yet you and I can be at inward peace in ourselves, if we will, but keep the commandments fully of Jesus Christ. And long-suffering is another one of the fruits of the Spirit, that we who walk in the Spirit or in the light should have as part of our attributes. And meekness and temperance and faith, these are also part of the fruit of the Spirit. And perhaps goodness is another listed there that I perhaps overlooked. These are things that actually show what we are and what we should do. And it tells us this meekness and temperance and faith and all of these things. It says there is no law against these. None. And they that are Christ, in verse 24 and 25 in Galatians 5, have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And of course, these things of the flesh are things of the darkness. And it says, those who are Christ have crucified, or actually did away with these things that are of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So there is a charge placed to all mankind. If you live in the Spirit and you claim to do such, we should walk in it, or vice versa. Now back again to Ephesians 8, 10, and 11. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Ephesians 5, maybe I should have said 10 and 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we are not to have any fellowship whatsoever with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we are to be the children of light. Now back to 1 Thessalonians 5, 5 through 8. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The opening remark among them I mentioned concerning watching by Jesus Christ, for ye know not when the second coming of Christ will be. And let us not sleep. But you notice it says, and be sober, and I believe that sober there is alert, aware of what is taking place about you. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Now there outlined how we must order our life in order that we truly might be the children of the light or the children of Jesus Christ, that we might not have desires in our heart to follow after the works of darkness, the things that would deceive and cause us heartache and sorrow, but to follow after the things that would cause us to have that joy and peace and long-suffering in our being that are mentioned as part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now this mentions of a breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. We are told that we are to have righteousness as a part of our makeup as well. I would like to read from Moroni 10, 14 through 18, because it ties with this faith, this hope, and this love, which love I believe is the pure love of Christ, or even charity. And I would exhort you, my beloved brethren, that ye remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now this is something that we're not dealing with mankind, because it seems like man is forever changing. Even different standards, even the set standards that we once knew, seemingly are changed today. We find that even the fathers of our Constitution of the United States of America set forth certain standards as a guideline, and I believe they were directed, at least for the more part, by God when they were originally placed there. But we find certain ones today, and their interpretation of what these standards mean have changed what we for years have taken for certain guidelines to follow or to stand by. We find today that all too often it is supporting the offender instead of those who have the offense committed against them. All too often this is the case. There are those who have let go free because of certain little frailty of the law in the way they interpret it, that you cannot infringe upon people's constitutional rights, or that a certain thing is cruel or unusual punishment. And really our forefathers never intended that when people were murdered, that if you had to put somebody to death for doing it, that this was cruel or unusual punishment. I'm sure they intended things differently than they are today. But we are dealing here, thank goodness, with a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he set certain standards and by and goals for you to pursue and certain things for you to follow, he did it the same for Adam, Noah, any of these others that you wish to name, the Apostle Paul, or write down today. There, the things that were expected of them are the same as what is expected of you today. He changeth not. And all these gifts of which I have spoken, and last Sunday I had paused to speak somewhat upon the spiritual gifts, and I won't go into them in detail again, but they were placed for a definite reason in Christ's church, that his church might function as an effective and an efficient unit. And he says, these gifts of which I have spoken, which are spiritual, never will be done away, even as long as the world shall stand, only according to the unbelief of the children of men. That is the only reason these things will ever be done away. Wherefore, there must be faith. Number one, there must be faith among the children of men. And if there must be faith, there must be hope. Do you believe that there is a Jesus Christ, that there is a heaven? Do you believe that there is a God? Then you must have some hope with it, that you one day might be able to bear with it. Or, like I said, there would be a new Jerusalem come down out of heaven, and man will dwell there in that city, and God himself will be their God, and he will dwell among them. But if we have hope of being in such a place, then we must needs have faith. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. And except ye have charity, ye can in no wise be saved in the kingdom of God. Now this shows the importance of charity in our lives, of the love and concern we have for one another, of the type of individual you are. It shows that we have charity. And long-suffering is another one of the parts of this. Neither can be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith, neither can ye if ye have not hope. And if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair, and despair cometh because of iniquity. That's why this despair comes unto the children of men. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which is expedient unto me with this thing called faith. We're also told in the scriptures, and I quite often bring this out, I'll bring it out again, in Hebrews 11:6, I believe it is. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now that's a very pointed statement. Without faith, it's impossible. It didn't say you could do it in any other way. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is. You must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And didn't we read here concerning doing certain things with diligence already from the Book of Mormon? We must do it this way. And now I speak unto all the ends of the earth, and any who would ever read this or have them taught or preached to in the future, that if the day cometh that the power and gift of God shall be done away among you, it shall be because of unbelief. Now that's why that these things would ever be done away, the power and gift, is because of the unbelief of the children of men. Yet faith indeed is important. In James 2, verses 5 and 6, we have a little further on this thing called faith. Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Now this does not mean that we have to be rich as far as temporal things of this life to be heirs of the kingdom. For this statement said, hath not he chosen the poor of this world, but those that are actually rich in faith? And oftentimes the case is, and it wouldn't have to be this way, but it seems that oftentimes the poor might have a greater faith. And I believe that's what he is getting at here. Those who are actually rich in faith. If we were really, each one of us, was fully rich in faith today, that would be a greater attribute than all the things that we might work to the end of our life and possess. Because this faith can carry us through into eternity. It can even make us heirs to the kingdom. But ye have despised the poor. He was speaking to a people here who had actually despised the poor. And mentioned here about one who would come into their congregation to worship, who might have a gold ring and goodly clothes and things like this. And said there would come in one in vile raiment. And he said, you would have respect for the person in goodly attire. And this ought not to be. He said, you have despised the poor. But he said, you shouldn't do this. For he said, these poor are rich in faith. Do not rich men oppress you? And I'll ask this today. Are not the rich oppressing the world today? And it goes on. It's getting increasingly more so. Because the void between those that have and those that have not is getting greater as time goes on. And it's going to get more so. Even our unjust way of giving increases to mankind of a percentage-wise is not good. Because I even read this week in a group of our tradesmen here, I believe the plumbers, with all of their amount that they get, I think it's a little over $10 per hour, and they want a 12% increase. But the poor guy that's making $2 an hour somewhere, if he got a 12% increase, that would be 24 cents, I believe. And one with $10 would be $1.20. And so the unjustness of our thing goes on, and it is getting wider and wider. I even looked and read this week, and it's good that the Social Security recipients are getting an increase. But an 8% increase for the person that's with $100 is 8, and the one that's getting $300, which already has three times as much as the one getting 100, he gets 24. So it's really one of the unjust things of our civilization at times. This day it is very unjust. It'd been far more just if they could give everybody the same amount, maybe 12, 15, and help out the one making the less the same amount as the other. But this is going to get farther and farther, and one day it's going to be a tremendous amount of difference in there. And another one, the sad thing to that, those who always lived best in this life, when they worked, were able to pay them the highest, and so always lived best when they retired. So we do have a lot of injustice today. And it comes right down to the rich too. Do not the rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Reminds me of a few years ago, and I mentioned this in a sermon, but it was then listed as the world's richest man, and I really don't know if he's still that way or not. He was an oil billionaire. But anyway, in this particular place in California, we find that there was a couple came from the old country somewhere and had labored and finally got all of their property paid for and everything in order, and they felt that everything was as it should be. But all of a sudden, oil kept coming up through their yard. And we find that years ago, that there had been an oil well there and capped way down. And it had started leaking, and later this here billionaire had even purchased this same property or the oil rights. And when they attempted to get this individual to correct this situation, they could not do it because he refused. And there wasn't much they could do, and it was going to cost them the price of all their property to correct this condition. And yet this other person was a billionaire, and the poor people there had worked hard to arrive at what they have and to become debt-free. And they said, well, we started once this way, I said, we can do it again. I had to marvel at their attitude. But yet, how wrong it was, because they could draw a person before the judgment seat, because even the courts wouldn't rule in favor of the person whose property upon this was done, because it was just an unfortunate circumstance. And I don't recall the exact details, and it's probably been 10 years ago that I read that. But how it does fit. Those with money can haul any one of us into court for what little we would have or to destroy it. So really, to be rich in faith is the important thing in this life. In Ether, the 5th chapter and 4th verse, we find a bit more along this line, only adding to it this thing called hope. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. If you believe in God, you might with surety hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, a place where there's no more injustice, where everybody will be justly and equally with. Which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of man or men. Now, pause there a minute. If you really want this anchor to your very soul, this cometh of faith and hope. Really, we can't trust too much in what man does. We can't trust too much in the way man writes laws, or the way he interprets them, or the way he applies them. We can't trust too much in the way man demands certain wage increases, or certain things he wants for benefit for his own particular being. And in a day of such inflation as we've got, man might look deeply at it and think, well, is it really necessary that I really get a raise, especially those with goodly salaries already? We might look at some of these things. But this hope is an anchor in this faith to the souls of men, which would make them sure and steadfast. And the only sureness and steadfastness we can have is in this faith and hope. Always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. And that's the one that we should glorify, is God. Now, it ties in Moroni 7, just another short reading, verses 48 through 50, concerning this thing called faith and hope, and even going down to the thing called charity. Wherefore, if a man has faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith, there cannot be any hope. So these things tie so closely together that in no way can we separate them. And again, behold, I say unto you that you cannot have faith and hope, save ye shall be meek and lowly in heart. And did not Jesus Christ say that he was meek and lowly in heart to come and learn of me? For I am meek and lowly in heart. And that thing called learn means that we learn what he intended for us to follow in the way of commandments and to search these scriptures. So, his faith, if so, his faith is vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly in heart. So our faith actually becomes vain. All these things become vain in our hope unless we are meek and lowly in heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore, he must needs have charity. So it is vital that love spoken of in the scriptures, we cannot underestimate it. It is the pure love of Christ, which we all should be partakers of. And you read on in the same reading, you can find all the marvelous attributes of charity. And we won't happen to turn to them this morning because there are things that we should have. I would like to read now from 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Again, be alert, be aware. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, we must be obedient to Jesus Christ. If we are obedient, then we become the children of Christ, or the children of the light that we spoke about somewhat earlier today. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Now, he's speaking to a people here that had former lust. Not fashioning yourselves after this type of thing, but after the things of the light. In verse 15, but as he which hath called you is holy, and Jesus Christ is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Everybody knows what you are, the way you speak and what you say. The things you talk about, he knows what you are. It says, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. There are scriptures here that says that we are to be a holy people, or indicate that. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And so if Jesus Christ is holy and our Heavenly Father is holy, there is the charge that we too are to be holy. And there are sufficient scriptures held out before us, ungiven, that would show that it is vital that we be a holy people. And there are sufficient scriptures that outline in detail how to become that same holy people. Now I would like to turn to some of Christ's words in Luke, the 12th chapter. And in verses 35 through 40. Let your loins be girded about, and your light burning. Now over in Ephesians 6:14, it gives us part of the armor of God, wherewith you'll be able to stand in the evil day. And really the only way you'll be able to stand is, it gives actually six different parts, but that one I would like to touch on, because he says, let your loins be girt about. And over there it says, let your loins be girt about with truth. It is important that we be a truthful people. And your light burning, the light of Jesus Christ burning in our hearts. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. If you're really waiting for your Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. And did not I read to start with about the importance of watch? In fact, I would like to turn to that one verse again. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And so he said here, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them, those who are watching, mind you, to sit down to meat,
and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, it really isn't going to matter which watch he comes. If you are actually watching and are prepared, it don't matter when he comes, does it? That's what Christ is trying to show here. And find them doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. I'm adding this. Blessed are those servants. And this know, that if a good man of the house had known what hour the thief comes, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. He would not have allowed it if he had known what hour. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Earlier this week I had cause to read this passage of Scripture. Be ye therefore ready also. That's actually a command. And then the thought comes to me, and I could ask it today, are you ready? And I'll let you answer that. Are you ready? Jesus Christ said, be ready, but are you? It's kind of a sobering thought, is it not? He said to be ready, for he cometh within an hour that you think not. I'm going to read from Luke 21, 34 through 36. Seems like that I've already used this in at least one sermon this year in this local. And I've used it more than once last year and others years. But it happens to be one of those that, again, fit and tie in to what I have brought out this day. And take heed to yourselves. Coming back to this term, thing called being alert or aware or awake. Lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting, or excessive of this life, and drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that day come upon you unawares. Now, Jesus saw down through time that there would be a time when people were so involved in these things, and I think especially the cares of this life, that they would be unaware of the most important things of that day that might shortly take place. The return, the second coming of Jesus Christ, and all these other events that would take place in the time called the end of the world. For as a snare, my youth, shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It will come as a surprise to those that dwell here. And this key verse, watch, again, watch, ye therefore, and pray always. We must be a prayerful people and take time to pray. Why? That ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And like I said this morning, our Sunday school lesson tied in somewhat today. We read somewhat in Revelation of some very grievous things that will yet take place upon the face of this earth. But Jesus Christ said, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and lastly, and to stand before the Son of Man. And that Son of Man is Jesus Christ, that we might be worthy to do this. And I hope and pray that we each together might order our lives so close to Jesus Christ and so diligently keep his commandments and follow him and apply these things to our lives, that we might become that holy people, that we might be constantly watchful unto prayer, that we might not be those who are numbered among the five unwise virgins, that we might have oil in our lamp when Jesus Christ returns, even that oil that would be the oil of life. And so I hope that we do keep his commandments and become the children of light, that regardless of what takes place, that we can stand in that faith, in that hope, and in that charity that we have been commanded to.